This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, anti-terrorist officials are warning churches in the U.K. to increase their security after an 85-year-old priest was beheaded yesterday in northern France by ISIS jihadists. As the Washington Times points out, this is the first time that the Iraq-Syria-based group targeted a church in the West. Are churches here in the U.S. at risk? We'll get an answer from Texas Congressman Ted Poe, a member of the Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Security, in just a moment. Also, our good friend Todd Starnes with Fox News will join us live from Philadelphia with an update on the DNC convention that's in its third day. We'll also be taking your phone calls. Jot this number down if you're new to Washington Watch, 866-372-7234. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics and our guest. Also, lots of resources there for you on the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. All right, yesterday we discussed the ISIS-inspired attack on a Catholic church in France where the priest who was conducting Mass was accosted by two jihadists where they slit the 85-year-old priest's throat while he was conducting the Mass. This shows a much more aggressive tactic on the terrorist intentionally going into churches in the West. Now, officials in the U.K., as I mentioned earlier, have warned the 47,000 churches in that country to take greater security precautions. Could this new chapter in ISIS's tactics of targeting churches include the U.S.? Joining me now with an answer is a member of both the House Judiciary and Foreign Affairs Committee. And he's on subcommittees overseeing terrorism and homeland security. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Texas, our good friend Congressman Ted Poe. Ted, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Always good to talk to you, Tony.
Before we jump into this, I just want you to know, Congressman, we've been praying for you as you are battling leukemia. And can you just give us an update on how you're doing?
Yes, I can. And thanks for the prayers. I am at MD Anderson Hospital in Houston, and I'm undergoing a treatment for leukemia. And I don't know how long it's going to be, but I feel good and ready to get back and back up in Washington when we go back into session to promote our conservative principles. So things are going well, but that's where I am.
Well, we're going to be continuing to pray that you have a full and speedy recovery because we absolutely do need you here in Washington when Congress returns in September. So we're grateful for the update. Let's talk about what happened yesterday in France, in northern France, where ISIS terrorists, homegrown, radicalized, go in and literally slit the throat, behead a priest during Mass. This is a new tactic that they're using to spread even more fear and terror in churches in the West. Is this something that even we should be concerned about here in the U.S.?
I personally think so. The ISIS, the radical jihadists, as we all know, despise and hate anybody that don't agree with their philosophy. And top of the list are Christians. This was a I think a statement by these jihadists in church in Mass, go after the priest, hide behind the nun, blaspheme the altar, and try to get away. So I think it was a direct attack on Christianity by these two ISIS jihadists. And ISIS looks for opportunities wherever they occur. And France is the it's kind of a center point right now in the world. I don't think it's just going to be France. As you mentioned earlier, the United Kingdom is concerned about the churches there. And I think that churches in the United States, if there's an opportunity for ISIS sympathizers or ISIS jihadists, could promote the same thing because they hate Christians. Christians are one of the many groups that they are trying to intimidate and persecute along with other religious groups as well, including Muslims.
But this is pretty brazen that they now have begun attacking churches in the West, going in the middle of services and doing, as we described earlier. This would suggest to me that they are in no form or fashion in retreat, that they are not intimidated by the actions of this administration or, quite frankly, anything that the international community is doing thus far.
That is correct. Let's remember the basis of all of this. They are terrorists, and they want to inflict terror any way they can. And this is just another example of inflicting terror to try to scare us, so to speak. The French president did make the comment that this attack is part of the war that ISIS is waging against France. I would hope that our administration would deal with the reality of ISIS and call them who they are, define the enemy as radical jihad that kills in the name of their sense of religion and that kill people that don't agree with them, recognize the enemy, and then deal with the enemy rather than try to minimize what ISIS does. And I think we have to do that. They are not going to stop. As we now know, one of these terrorists had been already on a form of electronic monitoring because of his previous terrorist activities. They're not going to stop. You can't negotiate with these folks. So we need to recognize them that they're at war with everyone that disagrees with their philosophy.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Congressman Ted Poe of Texas, talking about the warning issued to churches in the United Kingdom that they need to heighten security as a result of yesterday's attack in northern France in a Catholic church in which an 85-year-old priest was brutally murdered by two ISIS jihadists. The White House, Congressman, I say the White House, it was the National Security Advisor, actually a spokesman for the National Security Council, said yesterday, quote, "France and the United States share a commitment to protecting religious liberty for all faiths. Today's violence will not shake that commitment." Now, that sounds good, and I guess I would quote the Apostle James, who said, "Do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" I just can't see where this administration has done much to protect the religious liberty of Christians in places that ISIS has systematically been killing them.
And I totally agree with you. The reports of Christian persecution throughout the world has increased. The number of Christians being murdered because of their faith has increased. And I think that maybe the administration is not really being candid enough with us about how much the persecution is taking place. And so we see Christianity under attack. ISIS is the primary culprit right now.
Yeah, what we're seeing here with yesterday in such clear demonstration is the nexus between national security, because right now it's in France, but it's not going to stay contained in France, and religious liberty. Those two things clearly at risk here. And so I guess my question for you, as we head into a national election this fall, how significant are those two issues, or how significant, I should say, should they be in this fall's election?
I think they should be paramount. Religious freedom is one of the tenets of who we are. It is the first right in the First Amendment. It's not there by accident. It's there because it's of its importance. And I think that we should, as Americans, protect that absolute right of religious liberty. And we can do it many ways. But national security is part of that way as well. We have to protect this sacred right to worship and practice religion in the United States. And I think maybe the government needs to be more proactive with that right.
I'm hoping that it continues to be at the forefront of both national security, as you pointed out. I mean, that is a fundamental responsibility of, above all else, that our federal government has. And, of course, religious freedom being a fundamental freedom. Congressman, I want to thank you for joining us. Before I let you go, would you mind if I just pray for you and ask our audience to join with us in praying for you?
I would appreciate that, Tony. Thank you.
All right, folks, I'm just going to add, we rarely do this on the program, but I think it's appropriate. And I'm just going to ask you, wherever you are across the country, just join with me as we pray for our friend Congressman Ted Poe as he is fighting this leukemia in treatment now. We want to pray that God would touch him and heal him and send him back to Washington here at 100%. Father, we just thank you that you are the healer. Our provider, you created us. We believe that. We're not here by chance. We're here by your design, and we're created in your image. And I thank you, Father, for our friend Ted. And I just ask you, Lord, to touch him right now where he's at. We know you can use the doctors. You can use whatever you want. But we pray you'd give him strength during this treatment, and we pray for a complete and total recovery. Just bring healing to his body. Give him strength. Comfort his family. And just bless them, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Congressman, thank you so much for taking time out to join us today.
Great talking to you, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Our good friend, Congressman Ted Poe of Texas, represents the 2nd Congressional District. But folks, he's a fighter. All right? He's just a fighter. He's fights on all the issues we care about. And I just want to, go ahead and pencil him down on your prayer list and continue to pray for him that he would make a full recovery from this leukemia. Look, before we leave this issue, I know we talked about it yesterday, but I guess got to drive this home. Look, this shows that this administration's foreign policy and their dealing with ISIS and radical Islam has failed. These guys are not in retreat, all right? They're not stepping back. You know, this is brazen, what they did yesterday, going into this church in the middle of a mass and beheading the priest, an 85-year-old priest. Do not think this cannot happen here. And that's what Congressman Poe said. He thinks we're at risk. It doesn't have to happen here. This is where we need an administration that will move heaven and earth to protect American citizens. And of course, if we're working in our foreign policy to ensure that religious freedom is protected and tyrants and terrorists are tracked down and dispatched into eternity, then we're not going to have these growing threats. But we have an administration that has coddled Islam and criticized Christianity. And it has sent this message that it's open season on Christians. We need a different message coming from Washington, D.C. And so I hope as you consider this fall's election that you're thinking about that. Whether it's state offices, congressional offices, or President of the United States, protecting America is job number one. And ensuring religious freedom is right there next to it. All right, when we come back, Fox News' Todd Starnes will join us with an update from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
Do you enjoy history, museums, pandas, and national monuments? And are you looking to gain work experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, come spend a semester as an intern in Washington, D.C. with a Family Research Council. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and attend congressional hearings, events, rallies, and lectures all over D.C. Further, you will develop your skills in research and writing about the sanctity of life, marriage and family, religious liberty, and many other policy issues. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. To learn more and apply to the program, visit frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Boycotts. They're effective. Communicating to our society that something has gone terribly wrong. Here's Ed Vitagliano, Executive Vice President of the American Family Association.
Before Target changed its policy, it had men's rooms for men, women's rooms for women. And you ask the question, why? Why did Target have a policy of gender-specific bathrooms before it changed? Well, it's because everybody in every civilized country of the world understands that men and women, generally speaking, are uncomfortable with a stranger of the opposite sex when they're in the bathroom or they're changing their clothes. That's why these rooms were separate to begin with. So what's changed? People still feel the same way. That's why this policy is misguided.
Sign the Boycott Target Pledge. It's over a million strong. It's at afa.net.
God reached Michael Brown with faith in Christ when he was a 16-year-old drug-using rock and roller. With that faith, Dr. Michael Brown has devoted his life to spreading the gospel and sparking moral revolution.
The world continues to go crazy all around us. I'm here to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity.
Dr. Brown has debated Jewish rabbis, agnostic professors, and gay activists, and is widely considered to be the world's foremost messianic Jewish apologist. Dr. Michael Brown will be one of the speakers this year at the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th. Space is limited to 400 attendees, so make your plan soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 1, followed by option 2. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And we hope to see you there.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website's tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, I think it was very fitting that Paul Simon kicked off the Democratic National Convention on Monday in Philadelphia with his iconic song, Bridge Over Troubled Water. The water continues to be troubled up there. Last night, the Democrats made history by nominating the first woman as president from a major political party. The problem for many is that the woman is Hillary Clinton, as many Bernie Sanders supporters actually walked out. Well, joining me now from the ground in the city of brotherly love is our good friend, Fox News's Todd Starnes. Todd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. And just one clarification. I'm actually upwind of the convention, so I'm actually in New York City today.
Oh, well, you're safe then. Okay. I was just going to – last week we were together in Cleveland at the RNC convention, and so I guess scenery a little different there in Philly.
Well, one of the concerns I had, Tony, is an event that's happening tomorrow. You know, these protesters are simply out of control, and the mainstream media is not reporting on all of the craziness out there.
Now, is that the speakers, or is it at the
no,
Dean?
That's another bridge over
troubled
waters.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that was a salute. Well, no, I won't say anything about the Kennedys, but anyway. The concern I had was for tomorrow, just before Hillary's speech. Thousands of these protesters are literally staging they're calling it a fart in, Tony Perkins. And they're going to be passing around cans of pork and beans, and at the appointed hour, they're all going to begin spontaneously flatulating. I mean, this is just simply outrageous, so I wanted to be upwind of that.
Todd, you have... You've left me speechless. What are our major parties coming to?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm concerned because we've had severe weather here on the East Coast, and one lightning bolt, and you could blow a hole in the ozone from here to Charlotte, North Carolina.
And I tell you what, the global warming people must be having a cow. I mean, this certainly is adding to the emissions there in the city of brotherly love. But anyway... Well, let's talk about the message coming out of Philadelphia. I mean, last week the report, and you were there in Cleveland, and the mainstream media stumbling over themselves to try to report the story that Republicans were divided. I mean, I can remember I was down on the floor, And when primarily during the rules debate, that was the only time there was really any kind of friction. They were stumbling over themselves to try to get to where there might be one person standing up and you know, shouting something back at the chair to try to send forth an image that this was a very divided party. How do you compare the two parties as you've taken a look at both?
You know, I think there are slight similarities, but to be honest with you, looking at the polling, there was a new poll that just came out earlier today that had Donald Trump up 7 points over Hillary. That one coming out of California. So I think the Democrats are in trouble here. I believe that that conservatives are beginning to coalesce around Donald Trump and Mike Pence. I think they truly see the issues for what they are. And I believe that the email scandal, the second email scandal, the one with involving WikiLeaks, I believe that's having a tremendous impact on the Democratic base. And if nothing else, I think it demoralizes them because there is a lot of just horrible, horrible information in those emails that portray Democratic leadership in a very negative light, and quite frankly, Hillary Clinton as well.
Now, we're told that there's another batch of emails coming that WikiLeaks is going to release a second batch. Any speculation or any word as to what might be in that next batch?
There had been some speculation that we might get some more information on the dealings and the financial dealings of the Clinton Foundation. Now, we do know the IRS is launching some sort of an inquiry. I'm not quite sure what kind of an impact this might have on the electorate, but I have to tell you, this party they were booing Hillary Clinton, these Bernie Sanders supporters, and I'm not too sure they're placated by Bernie Sanders, you know, acclamation yesterday. So I think that they're still going to have big problems there. Not only that, Tony, these protests that are happening outside of the convention hall, very disturbing. You had these protesters waving the communist flag, the Palestinian flag, while dragging the Israeli flag down the street, burning Old Glory, and then you have these radical groups, one of them associated with the Black Lives Matter organization, and we actually have the video of them telling all of the white people to go to the back of the line.
When you see this obviously shows a party that is in disarray. And here's the way I see it. I think Donald Trump, if he just went on vacation between now and the election, he would win. I just think Hillary Clinton will defeat herself. I mean, with all this stuff, I just think he needs to get out of the way and let the Democratic Party implode.
You know, that's really not a bad idea. Because usually when Mr. Trump has a press conference, there are more questions that are asked. So I think that might not be such a bad idea after all. But you know, I think the average American, the person that struggles to pay the rent, and the folks that are going to the grocery store and trying to figure out what they can afford to buy, the small business owners who see the draconian taxes and the rules coming out of Washington, I think they're going to be attracted to Donald Trump and his message. You know, just yesterday there was a story in the New York Post about a small diner in Brooklyn, been around more than 40 years, Tony, and they're having to shut down because they can't afford the mandatory $15 an hour minimum wage that's been imposed upon them by the state of New York. So I suspect people like that are going to be drawn towards Donald Trump and Mike Pence moving towards November.
Well, we'll be watching it very closely. And, of course, we'll be watching Philadelphia as the president actually takes the stage tonight. Tomorrow night will be Hillary Clinton giving her rousing speech. All right, Todd Starnes, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tony, and my condolences to people downwind in Baltimore and Wilmington.
All right, we'll stay away from the pork and beans. All right, Todd Starnes, Fox News. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. We've got a few more things to talk about, and then we're going to open up the phone lines, 866-372-7234. So don't go away. There's more, a lot more, Washington Watch to come.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, we got an unexpected drop in durable goods. Now, last month, the month of May, durable good orders were down. You might remember me saying that this is a concern, and it was certainly going to be a concern for second quarter GDP growth. Well, they were expecting, like I said, to be up 1.1%. It was a negative 4%. That is huge. A negative 4%. Durable good orders down 4%. This is definitely going to have an impact, or it should have an impact, on GDP numbers for the second quarter. Unless the GDP numbers are politically influenced and we see a little bit of a better GDP outlook than we might expect. And that is highly possible. Remember, this is GDP numbers coming out right up against the election. It's going to be the last one we see other than the final second quarter number. So I would expect we could easily see it above 2%, but the numbers don't justify it being above 2%. We'll have to wait and see, but we also get a lot of home numbers coming out, pending home sales. That will be coming out later on in the week. We also get new home sales that will be coming out and crude inventories. And it looks like crude oil continues to take a hit. The concern right now is the overwhelming supply of gasoline. Well, that's been good because almost every day this week we have seen the national average of gasoline coming down. But it's gotten to a point where there is a glut now in refineries overproducing, and this is weighing on crude oil prices. So more concern in and around oil.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right. Last night, one of the speakers at the Democratic National Convention was Cecile Richards, who is the president of Planned Parenthood. And I thought it was very ironic that on the day that she took center stage for, I think she had like a 4-minute speech. That was the same day that charges against, as we talked about yesterday, David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt were thrown out in Texas. They're the ones that part of the Center for Medical Progress did the undercover sting operation showing that Planned Parenthood was involved in the trafficking of baby body parts. And it was interesting. A lot of the media cut away from her speech. I think the only place you could really see it was on C-SPAN. And she's the only one, I believe so far, that has actually used the word abortion. She mentioned it twice during her 4-minute speech because, you know, they use euphemisms. They try to avoid the actual abortion word. It's reproductive freedom. Reproductive health. They use anything they can to avoid that word because guess what's happened, folks? And this is one of the points I made the other night on PBS when I was up in Cleveland, is that 43 years after the Supreme Court forced abortion on demand on the entire country, that issue is far from being resolved. In fact, it is we probably are more of a pro-life nation today. Part of that is technology. You know, we have the ultrasound, and you're able to see that this, in fact, is not a blob of tissue, but it is, in fact, a human being, a baby with fingers and toes. But also, what the underlying opposition that's there that will never allow that to rest is that it violates the laws of nature. Look, it runs counter to the laws of nature, not only God's laws, but the laws of nature, and nature's God, that a mother would take the life of her unborn child. I mean, that's just, it runs counter to how we are made. Now, it doesn't mean people can't do it and they can't suppress it. They do, but it still runs counter. And as a culture, we'll never accept abortion. Right? It'll always be controversial. But fact is, and I made this point in that interview, that you go back, see how far we go back. Let's go back, 25 years or so, 24 years. And, you had a hard time getting some of these presidential candidates to really get out front and say they were pro-life. I mean, Ronald Reagan embraced the life issue. That was probably a turning point. I know a lot of younger folks have grown up in a day and an age when, in fact, in this last election cycle, 17 Republican candidates, all but one were admittedly and overtly pro-life. I think George Pataki was the only one who supported abortion. So, I mean, it is now commonplace. It's like it's a default position for Republicans. In fact, it's very, very clear in the party's platform. The party platform of the Republicans calls for the defunding of Planned Parenthood. First time, and I know I've mentioned this before, first time, though, the Planned Parenthood is actually listed in the named in the platform to be defunded. Now, of course, the Democrats on the other side celebrate Planned Parenthood and want to go a step further in forcing taxpayers to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood that do elective abortions. So clear contrast between the two parties. But and then I was going to go on to talk about how I juxtapose that to the issue of marriage. Because he said, well, that's different than abortion. No, it's not different than abortion. The redefinition of marriage violates nature as well, the laws of nature and nature's God. And while you can suppress, and that's why they're having to punish people, take away their businesses, fine them, threaten them, that's the only way. But even then, they will never succeed because it violates the laws of nature. It just doesn't work. So I've warned this from the very beginning. The court can impose this on the nation. They can ignore 50 million voters in this country. But it's not going to make the issue go away. This will be a contentious issue as long as the government maintains this position forced on the people by the courts. It's not going away. I can assure you. Write it down. It's not going away. But anyway, what we see here with Cecile Richards is that she wants to mention the abortion issue. The media cuts away. The Democrats don't want to own this. I mean, I know they got it in their platform, but they want to talk about it in these terms that are not as direct. Abortion is a losing issue. 78% of Americans believe it should be restricted. The majority of Americans now pro-life, or right there, evenly split, but a vast majority believe it should be restricted. All right, when we come back, we're going to open up phone lines. A little bit more to talk about. 866-372-7234. And do you think the network's decision not to carry Cecile Richards' remarks last night shows even the mainstream media knows we are winning on the life issue? What do you think? Let's talk about it when we come back here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you.
American pastor Saeed Abedini was arrested in his native Iran in 2012 while building a government.
Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering.
An army chaplain was punished for discussing matters of faith and quoting from the Bible.
For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving.
God's word is true and applies to our lives today. An encouragement from the American Family Association.
A quick trip to Aunt Helen's unexpectedly became an extended stay, and you're without enough of your medication. It's good to know you have real-time access to a national network of board-certified doctors with just a phone call. MD Live is non-emergent medical care 24/7, fitting your schedule. No forms to fill out and no waiting room, because all you need is your non-narcotic medication. HCBenefits.com. That's HCBenefits.com.
What are students saying about Wesley Biblical Seminary? Here's Daphne Armstrong.
I chose WBS because of the biblical teaching that I knew I would receive. My relationship with God has gotten so strong. I'm really, truly depending on Him, and it's completely changed my way of thinking.
I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Come and be a part of our community.
Apply today at wbs.edu. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Discover the difference.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. The corruption of willful blindness in our government makes me angry, especially when the innocent are hurt or killed because of it. You may remember the disturbing image of the covered, lifeless body of a young child with her doll lying next to her from the recent attack in France. How can we help but feel angered over radical Islamic jihadist attacks? How can we help but feel the same disgust at the willful blindness which allows such terrorism to continue? Let's pray that our government will name and aggressively engage the enemy, hastening the day when such savagery will be halted here in America and internationally. Pray that we'll awaken and take responsibility for becoming informed. Pray that God will give us hearts filled with hatred for evil, yet tender with compassion for our enemy, both foreign and domestic, for His own glory. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Welcome back. 866-372-7234. Here's the question for today. Do you think the network's decision to not carry Cecile Richards' remarks last night shows that even the mainstream media knows we are winning on the life issue? They just don't want abortion to be the face of the Democratic Party. Remember, also Planned Parenthood has been embroiled in this controversy over the selling of baby body parts. So what do you think? By the way, before we go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234, kind of another topic, but I did want to mention this because this was in the Washington Times today. According to preliminary data from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, the number of U.S. law enforcement officers shot and killed in the line of duty is up 78% this year compared with the same period last year. That's, again, preliminary data from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. And of course, that's an issue we addressed in Cleveland in the platform, because I believe that this administration and their, you know, all the stuff that they've been doing has fostered this environment that has made it extremely difficult for law enforcement to do their job and made it extremely dangerous. All right. We're going to go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Oklahoma, where Shannon is on the line. Shannon, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
What do you think? The media, they realize America.
I had a question for you. I'm a Republican and deep Christian, and I've always swayed back and forth with the pro-life, pro-choice. And I've always swayed it more on the pro-choice side, because I've always thought that it was taking the rights away from the mother. And I don't consider abortion an option for birth control. But when it came down to subjects like, you know, what if the woman was violated, or she was told that the baby was going to have a major deformity and this was going to jeopardize the child and her life, that's where I was kind of stuck with, you know, taking rights completely away. Would that be us forcing this life on the woman and the child?
Well, for just a moment, Shannon, let's put aside the cases that you're talking about, because quite frankly, that is a small minority of the abortions that occur in this country. Let's just take abortion as a whole, all right? And then we can come back to those cases. Is a child, is that a human life? And is it or is it not? I mean, it is. It is. It's clearly a separate human life that a mother gives birth to. Now, at what point, in your opinion, I'm asking this question, at what point does that child have the rights? And what child? At what point does that child deserve to be protected?
Well, on, I guess, a normal circumstances, I believe that, you know, it's, they should be protected. And they're, you know, if the mother does go out and she does conceive a child, then she knew that that, you know, that could happen during her actions. And, you know, I, like I said, I don't believe that abortion is birth control. And there's plenty of parents out there that want to have children. So, I mean, I kind of swing both ways. And on that is, I believe that the child should be protected and should be, you know, conceived. And if, you know, if the woman still doesn't want the child, then there's plenty of other, you know, families that are willing to take that child. But does that, if I sway just to that direction, does that, I feel that takes away the rights of the other way. And I'm totally against Planned Parenthood for what they do. And it's just, I mean, I've always just kind of teetered back and forth with, you know, which one is the more suitable situation.
Well, hey, Shannon, I completely respect you asking this question, okay? So don't detect any, I'm not criticizing you. I'm trying to help walk through this process, and I appreciate your candor here. When you talk about a child having rights, a child is a separate human being. They have their, I mean, they are their unique person. They're created in the image of God, and it, you know, it's just a matter of inches before they're out and they're in the world. And technology now has shown us that they can survive at a much younger age. Now, let's take one of the categories you talked about. Let's take the a child who is the product of rape. All right. Now, again, I won't get into these exact percentages, but it's a very, very small percentage of abortions are actually the result of rape. But let's take this issue. Does it matter to the child that that child is the product of rape? Does it in any way diminish the fact that that is a human being?
Not at all.
So it's still a human being, still created in the image of God, although created through circumstances which, as you pointed out, violated an individual and did something wrong to them and is a criminal act. But then would we want to encourage that mother to take an action that then leaves even additional scars by taking the life of a child? I mean, even as you pointed out, there are other options. Adoption. I mean, there are a lot of families waiting to adopt children in this country. And one of the things we need to do is make our adoption laws more family friendly so that adoptions can be done easier, more easily. The bottom line, Shannon, is that a human being is a human being. And we all have rights, that's true, but I don't have the right to step on your fundamental right. And I don't believe that a mother's fundamental right allows her to take the life of another human being. And that's what we're talking about here, is actually ending the life of another. Again, I think it, as I was talking earlier, I think it violates the laws of nature. That's why this thing hasn't been resolved. It's not a legal issue. It's a moral issue. If it were legal, if it were simply a legal issue, this thing would have been long gone. We wouldn't be talking about it. But it's a moral issue, and people know intuitively that it's not right. We can try to rationalize. We can try to justify. We can, you know, give a what if this scenario, what if that scenario. Bottom line, each and every one of us, regardless of the zip code we were conceived in or the circumstances, we are created in the image of God. And therefore, we're deserving of respect and to be welcomed into the world and protected under our laws. Shannon, thanks so much for the call and the candor. I appreciate that and respect you in wrestling through this issue. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Missouri where Gloria is on the line. Gloria, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate that explanation you just gave to him. It is so good. My question is more, I do think the media is biased, but I have a question about our party platform. With the speech that Donald Trump gave, and I haven't watched the whole thing, but I heard bits and pieces of it, where he was saying how he was going to support the LGBT community, and I don't know all the details of what he said, but our platform is in opposition to gay marriage, right? So how does our platform affect the candidates when they're running as a Republican? What kind of credence do they put in it?
Good question, Gloria. Very good question. Let me give you the context in which Donald Trump made those comments in his speech. He made those comments, and you can go back, and anyone feel free to fact check me, because I was watching it there in Cleveland. What he said, and he said this before, he was talking about this in the context of what took place in Orlando and the terrorist attack on the homosexual nightclub, the gay nightclub there in Orlando. Now, by the way, the FBI has since come out with a report, preliminary report, saying there's no evidence to suggest that this terrorist actually targeted this place because they were gay. That's what the FBI said, and that's not been widely reported by the press, but that's beside the point. He was saying no one, the LGBT community, would be safe under him from the standpoint of he would not allow them to become targets of terrorists, to which I completely and totally agree. No American should be subject to having to walk around in fear in this country because of terrorists. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. That should not be tolerated in this country. Terrorists should be eliminated in this country. And so that was the context in which he said that, and I agree with that. Now, is it being interpreted as a wider statement of support? I think it is, but that was the context in which he said it. Now, Gloria, to the issue of the platform, the candidates are not bound by the platform, but there was an interesting study that we talked about, I think, week before last, from the Stephen F. Austin University, in which they looked at 30 years worth of party platforms. They found that the Democrats, in the policies in their platform, they pursued those and implemented them about 74% of the time in terms of their votes in Congress. The Republicans, 89%. So it does have an impact upon what the parties do. But the candidates are not bound to it, but it certainly becomes a marker and a statement of what the parties stand for and what they support. So that's a very good question, Gloria. Thanks so much for asking it. All right. I did want to go back for a moment to the question that Shannon said. I was reminded of my good friend James Robinson. And if you've never heard his testimony, his mother, was a home health nurse. And she was taking care of an elderly man and was raped by the man's son. And James is the product of that, as his mother gave him up for adoption. This was obviously prior to Roe v. Wade. But this is an example of a man that's literally touched tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives. I know many of my friends who became Christians as a result of the preaching of James Robinson. And I could go on. There's others that I know that I have met over the years that they themselves were the product of rape, but their mothers chose to have them. Many of them adopted, but have gone on to be used to do great things. So, look, it's a human life created in the image of God. I'm going to try to work in a couple more calls here. Gloria, thanks so much for the call there from Missouri. Let's go to Texas where Jimmy is on the line. Jimmy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Tony. And I do believe that there is media bias. But also I wanted to comment that I think there's a convulsion in the law on the abortion issue, because if, say, a drunk driver or somebody negligently hits a pregnant woman, then the person gets a manslaughter charge if that baby is hurt or killed. But then the prosecutor also goes after a woman who gives birth in an alley and throws her baby away. But at the same time, we legalize abortion, and I'm trying to figure out the difference and how they distinguish that in the law. It seems like this, it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, you're not alone, Jimmy. I mean, it does not. It's inconsistent. You have to do these intellectual gymnastics to try to get to a point where you can rectify those distinctions. Because you're right. In several states, if someone harms an unborn child that's still in the womb of their mother, they can be charged with that as a crime. And, of course, those are some laws that we've been encouraging because it recognizes the humanity of the unborn child. And you're right, a mother can be charged. And again, we're talking about inches. Once a child is conceived, once a child is born, the mother can't kill the child. They'll be charged with murder, or they just, dump the child in a dumpster. They can be charged as well. Of course, we've taken actions on that. I authored in my home state of Louisiana back when I was in legislature the Safe Zone bill, where mothers can, they have a baby, they can drop it off in these safe haven laws, what it is, where they can drop it off at a firehouse, a police station, hospital, different places, and not be charged and no questions asked, but the life of the child is spared. Again, it's a recognition of the inherent dignity and value of a human life. Now, this is one of the areas where, we need to step up more and change adoption laws so it makes it easier, support the crisis pregnancy centers across the country, those clinics that help these women and walk with these women, the homes where a lot of these mothers stay because sometimes they're kicked out of their homes. And I speak at a number of those events to help them raise money for these purposes. But this is where the Christian community is active and needs to continue to be active. And this is one of the criticisms, and I think it's a false criticism that, we only care about unborn children. We don't care about them once they're born. That's simply not true. But we need to continue to step up our activity on the other side of the pregnancy, when the child is born, and walk with those mothers and those children. Well, folks, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. And Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow, and I pray you will as well. Until next time, remember the website, TonyPerkins.com, but also remember this. The Apostle Paul said, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.